Luke chapter 22. The message today is, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. I want to read three passages. I hope I don't have too much competition with baby in the back. Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for you, that thy faith fail not, and do thou, when once thou art converted, establish thy brethren. Now chapter 23. Verse 33. And when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In John 17, this is the longest passage. And let me read it to you. Verse 1, these things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest to him authority over all flesh, that to all whom thou hast given him he should give eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou didst send. I glorified thee on the earth, having finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For the words which thou gavest me I have given unto them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, even so sent I them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given unto me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me. And I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we heard the enemies of Christ say, "Never man spake like this man." And having read his prayer, our God, we could add that no one ever prayed like this man. We thank you that thou hast given us a revelation of truth concerning him. We are thankful that we do not depend upon the conjectures of men, but from the revelation from thyself in heaven. And so from what we've read today, our Father, we desire that our souls shall be blessed. We pray, our Father, that as your Son said, "I have prayed for you," we shall understand and embrace the significance of these words and let our souls be blessed. And so, our Father, for this hour, undertake for us. We commit all into thy hands. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What is a greater blessing than knowing that people are praying for you? I mention people because if you read the scriptures, and I only read you scriptures concerning Christ, you know that Christ is praying for you. But then I could have read you other scriptures, and you would know that those like Epaphras and the Apostle Paul and servants of God, they have prayed for the Christians and the world as well. And so one of the most blessed thoughts possible to conceive of is that people are praying for you. I've been to prayer meetings, and I've heard some serene prayers, and I've heard some humorous prayers when people are praying for you. At times, some will insult you and say, "Lord, you've sent us a sinner, but you can use him still, and so bless him today as he seeks to preach to us." And others will thank God for you and say, "Lord, you have gifted this man, and we desire to hear words from you to the blessing of our souls." And then others will give you hackneyed words like this: "Lord, be with this man, mind, matter, and wisdom. Hide him behind the cross of Christ." Those were words I heard years ago. I haven't heard those lately. But you hear all sorts of prayers, but then you hear some sincere Christians praying humbly, "Lord, you sent your servant this way. Let him be a blessing to us." And at times, they entreat the Lord so earnestly that you say, "Lord, I have to give them something of worth." And so it's a glorious thing to know that people are praying for you. The greatest, of course, is to know that the Lord Jesus has prayed for you. I told you that at times I've been in prayer meetings and heard brethren pray for you. But at times, and this is a confession, I was praying with an old brother and preaching with him, and that night he was in one room, and it was an old house, and I was in the next room, and our beds were next to one another, and there was only this wooden wall separating between us, and there was a crack in that wall. And in the night, I saw a light come on, and I heard a voice speaking, and it kept speaking, and so I peeked through the crack, and this older brother was on his knees praying for me. And so I said, Lord, I must give an acceptable word. And so it's always a great blessing when you know that people are praying for you. And to discover how many people were praying for you, and especially the prayers of the Lord Jesus, I went through all the Gospels in their entirety and took out all the prayers that our Savior prayed. And the remarkable thing is this, that what I tell you from a comparison of all the Gospels, because if you read just one of the Gospels, you would wonder if the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ was very much at all. This is what you find, that the Gospel of John tells us the least and has the least number of prayers of our Savior. It has the most magnificent prayer, but it has the least number of prayers. And then Matthew and Mark are about the same, but then Luke is the gospel that has most about the prayers of our Lord, the greatest number, the greatest variety, whereas John could say this, I have saved for mankind the greatest prayer that has ever been offered for mankind. And yet, in all of these prayers, I find this, that the Lord Jesus prayed for ever so many different kinds of people. If you listen carefully as I read to you John 17, you will have noticed that our Savior prayed first for himself. And then he prayed for his Father, and he prayed for his own, and he said this, I pray not for the world. How strange that the Son who came to save the world that God loved said, I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me out of the world, for they are mine. And then he not only prayed for them, but he looks to the future and he says, I pray for the ones that are going to believe on me through their preaching. When they go into the world, obey my word, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, I pray for them also. And so our Savior prays for himself, the Father, his own, and those believers in the future that are going to trust him because of the testimony of those to whom he spoke, those that were around him when he was on earth. So in John 17, our Savior is praying for specific ones, but I read to you from Luke's Gospel a prayer that Christ prayed, and we would never have known that he prayed that prayer. He prayed the prayer in Luke chapter 22 for his apostles, and in particular for Peter. And what is so strengthening about the prayer of Christ is that he knows exactly your nature when he prays for you. He knows your down-sitting. He knows your uprising. He knows your thought afar off. He knows your strengths. And he knows your weaknesses as well. And therefore he said in Luke 22, Simon, Simon, behold, I prayed for you apostles, because Satan hath desired to sift you apostles as wheat. But I have prayed for you individually, that your faith fail not. Thank God for this, that before something happens to us, the Savior knows in advance the strategy of the enemy, and he knows the weakness of those that he's going to tempt. And he prays concerning your weakness and your failure. And he prays also concerning the restoration of your soul. Should he not? He who is our shepherd said this, he restoreth my soul. Thank God that we are his sheep and we are in his hands and we'll never be separated from him. But at times we follow him afar off and at times we sin. But the Savior said, I know that you're going to deny me 3 times, but I pray for you and your faith is not going to fail. He said, and you're going to be restored. And I am so gracious that even though you have denied me with cursing and with an oath, yet when you're restored, strengthen my brethren. Strengthen your brethren. How remarkable is our Savior and his prayers. And so if you ask me, what is the greatest encouragement you have? I mentioned the people of God praying for me, but the greatest prayer is that our Savior has prayed for us. There is not one here who can say, Jesus has never prayed for me. I read you the prayer that he prayed for you. He prayed for his apostles in chapter 22. Satan had desired to have you as wheat, that he may sift you. And I prayed for you who are lost in chapter 23, when the Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So understand this. He may have said in John 17, I pray not for the world. But in Luke 23, he prayed for the world. And briefly after that prayer, one of the world is going to say to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And the Savior is going to say, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so no man can say, Jesus does not love me, and Jesus has never prayed for me. Jesus has prayed for you, because you are included in those that put him to death. Do you think that only those who actually carried out the crime were responsible for his death? The Lord Jesus has said this, I have come not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And the Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so do you think that Jesus came just to do things for his own? He came to do things for sinners, for people that do not belong to him. He came to preach to those that would reject his preaching. And the Lord Jesus has prayed for those who were putting him to death then, and for us who are responsible for his death for this reason. If he died for your sins, then I am included among those that caused him to suffer on the cross. And the Lord Jesus has prayed. The encouragement to my soul is this, that having prayed for me, I know that my faith may wane, but I know that my faith is not going to disappear, because he has prayed that our faith fail not. The Lord Jesus speaks of different degrees of faith. He speaks, woman, great is thy faith. And he speaks to his own on occasion, and he says this, O thou of little faith. And so there are some that have great faith, and there are some that have little faith, and there are some who are so far from God, who have trusted him, that their faith is not visible to anybody around them, but it's visible to the Lord Jesus. And though it may grow small, they never cease placing their faith in him. It remains there. Why? Because he said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. And I mentioned in the past days this, that the Lord Jesus, having begun to pray in the Old Testament, continues it in the New Testament, and he will continue it throughout eternity. He will not have to pray for us, thank God, in that coming day, that we sin not. But I told you that he is the chief musician, and he will be praying and praising and worshiping with us in heaven. And so his prayers and praises never end. But the thing that's the great encouragement to us is this, that Jesus has saved us, and Jesus is praying for us that our faith fail not. Now, I read to you his intercessory prayer in Luke 22, and he gives us abundance of details there. What is contained in this one who ever liveth to make intercession for us? Why, he shows us in Luke 22 the nature of that intercession. He knows your down sitting and your uprising, and his prayer suits your particular need. He knows your heart. If your name is Thomas, he knows how to pray for you. And if your name is Peter, he knows how to pray for you. And if your name is John, the beloved apostle, he knows how to pray for you. And sad to say, if your name is Judas, he knows what to say and knows that his prayer for you at least has been offered, because the Lord Jesus, having prayed for us who have trusted him, that is a thrilling thing. His prayer has been answered. But the prayer that he has prayed for the world is a sad thing, because that prayer would allow you to come and receive him as Savior. But even though the Lord Jesus wants you to receive him, and he has prayed for you that you might receive him, you have rejected him. This is what it says in Matthew's Gospel. But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him. The Lord Jesus came and preached, and God empowered him to perform miracles that they might be convinced. They said, give us a sign from heaven. And he gave them abundance of signs from heaven, and they believed not on him. And because of that, in the coming day, the Lord Jesus is going to have all mankind before him. First, as the king on the throne, and then upon the great white throne. But in Matthew 25, this is what he's going to say to those on the right hand. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he's going to say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice, the kingdom is prepared for whosoever will. Let him take the water of life freely. And for you who will not have him, you go to the place prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you go there, Jesus has still prayed for you. And this is what the Father says in the Old Testament. He says to Israel, he says, Why will you die, O house of Israel? He says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you understand, if you go to hell, if you reject Christ, God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. There is no joy in heaven over a sinner who does not repent. But God says, I have no pleasure in that. In fact, I know the feeling of God when sinners reject him. The Lord Jesus, when he rode into Jerusalem, as he approached the city, he saw it at a distance. And when he saw it, he wept and he said, if thou hadst known in this thy day the things that belong unto peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And so Jesus had prayed for Jerusalem and its inhabitants, and the Lord Jesus had been rejected and his offers of salvation. But he said this, I'm praying and I weep over you, and your destruction is inevitable. But know this, that there is no man who shall ever say to Jesus when he stands before him, you never cared for me. You never did anything for me. You never thought about me. The Lord Jesus knows all about what you're doing. Before Saul of Tarsus was converted to the Lord Jesus, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He knew all things that he was doing. And David was aware that the Savior knew about him, because he said in Psalm 139, you know my down sitting, you know my uprising, you know my thoughts afar off. And so God knows you through and through. And he does everything he can to save your soul. He conditions his message to all mankind. That is the marvel. Do you realize that our Savior gives us a parable in Matthew, and he says this. He said, you're like unto children in the marketplace that cry unto their fellows, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. And he said, because I came in a joyful manner, eating and drinking, and you say, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And John the Baptist came, and he abstained from all these things. And this is what you say concerning him, why that man is demon possessed. Understand that all the way from joy to asceticism, God has presented messages to sinners because he wants them to be saved. And yet, they will not be saved. And so in the coming day, when you who are lost stand before the Lord Jesus, you're going to stand before one that has loved you unto death, one who has prayed for you, one who has no pleasure in your death. But understand this, that your death is inevitable if you do not receive in this Savior. The Lord Jesus said to this, he said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. But he also said this, that whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so he says, if you do not believe in me, you shall perish. And if you do believe in me, you have everlasting life, and you shall never perish. And so this is our Savior. He is one who at times says, I pray not for the world, but then he prays for the world, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I must explain about that prayer. There might be some who say, why then, all mankind is going to be saved. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There are different reasons that the Lord Jesus is praying. And there are different meanings as to the prayers that he prayed. Let me illumine the prayer of our Savior in Luke 23, by considering the prayer of Moses. When Israel, Moses being in the mountain, received the commandments of God, they were in the valley making a golden calf. And when God saw that, he said to Moses, he said, "Let me alone. Let my wrath wax hot against them, and I will destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation." And then Moses interceded with God. He prayed a magnificent intercessory prayer. And God said, "I have heard your prayer. I am not going to destroy them." But if you read a few verses along, this is what you find. He said, "I'm not going to destroy them now." He said, "But in a coming day, I will deal with them because of their sin." I want you to remember this. That the Lord Jesus, who prayed for those sinners that were crucifying him, whether Romans or Jews, it withheld the wrath of God from falling immediately. But just as God said to him, "I'm not going to destroy them now," but he said, "Later, I will deal with them." And so for all of those that were crucifying his son, I think of what you would do if you saw some vile sinner torturing your child. What would you do? You say, "I would attack him and do all in my power to destroy him." Of course you would. And God would do the same. But his son has withheld the wrath of God falling upon them immediately, giving them no opportunity to be saved. But it only sustains the mercy of God for 40 years, because the Savior has spoken in a parable about the king that gave an invitation to his nation, and they refused it. And then when they treated shamefully and killed the servants that he sent to them, this is what he says. He said, "I'm going to destroy those murderers, and I'm going to burn their city." And so the prayer of the Lord Jesus withheld the wrath of God from falling immediately, but in 40 years, it fell. And so all of you who are here, who have never trusted Christ as Savior, his prayer, as then, so now, is withholding the judgment of God falling upon you for what you've done, and it should fall upon you now. I read in the paper of these vile sinners, especially rape, kidnapping, all of these things. Why does not God send his wrath immediately upon them? Because the prayer of the Lord Jesus is letting them live, giving them an opportunity, and it may be until the time that they die that they will call upon him. When did the thief on the cross cry to the Savior for mercy, want to go to be with him, to be remembered? You say, the very day of his death. And what if this sinner, this malefactor, this criminal had been dealt with his sins immediately when they were committed? What would have happened to him? You say he would have never had a chance to say, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And so the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ keeps God's wrath from falling immediately upon sinners, but it shall eventually fall upon you. Understand that. The prayer of Jesus Christ can save no sinner unless he repents, unless he embraces him as Savior. His prayer will only do so much for lost sinners. But the Lord Jesus will save all that come unto him. He said this. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out." And I know that includes all, not just the elect, because it says, "And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." And so the Lord Jesus gives the invitation to all. And the invitation is good today. David says, "As long as I have breath, I will praise the Lord." And what happens is this: unless some sin that is unpardonable is committed by you, as long as you have breath, you can say, Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus will remember you. And say to one who has lived a life of sin, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so that is the worth, the efficacy of the prayer of Jesus for the world. And for those who are his own, I've told you that you shall never perish. No one shall pluck you out of his hand. He guarantees you a place in heaven, if as a sinner you will trust him as Savior. But more than that, John 17 tells us things about the future, as John 14 tells us things about the future. A place needed to be prepared in the Father's house for me. And the Lord Jesus has gone and prepared that place. And he said, I'm coming again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thank God for that. I'm going to be with him in heaven because he's prepared a place for me. But more than that, in John 17, he tells us about that place. He says, Father, I want you to glorify me with your own self, with the glory that I had with you before the world was. And then he says this, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold the glory which you have given me, because you love me before the foundation of the world. He wants you to be with him in heaven, child of God, and he wants you to see his glory. Even of the 12 apostles, only 3 saw his glory for an hour on the Mount of Transfiguration. They never saw his effulgence when he was on earth. But he says this, Father, that glory that was hidden when I was on earth, he said, I want it manifested again, and all of those who by faith received me and went through life with me as my disciples. Oh God, they thought that I was a lowly carpenter. They saw great things, but they never saw me in the glory that Isaiah saw me in, that Moses and Elijah saw me in, that 3 saw me in. But I want them all to be with me where I am, that they may behold the glory which you have given me. And he reminds his Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world. And so for whom has Jesus prayed? For he's prayed for everyone. He has prayed for those that love him, for those that hate him, for the nation of Israel, for the nations. Why, the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ includes everyone, and it includes you. God forbid that his prayer should be in vain. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for this one that you've sent from heaven. There's never been anyone like him, and there was only one who could save us from our sins, and he has done what is necessary to save us, our God. And so we pray that we shall do what is necessary to have those sins forgiven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so by thy Spirit, draw our God. And may sinners here who are being kept from the physical destruction by the prayer of Jesus, our Father, that they may be saved by that prayer of Jesus, who loved them even unto death. Do what we are unable to do. The word of God has been preached, our Father. Honor your word and show us indeed that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew and to the Gentile as well. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.